Thank you. thy head in prayer. Jesus, thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for all these amazing people that came to church this morning. And let us celebrate your son's birth. And thank you for Jamie and the youth group and giving us the strength to do stuff all the time and do this morning. And give Jamie the strength to preach the sermon this morning. And I pray that all you have an amazing day and a very Merry Christmas. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Amen. I don't know. Can you clap for a prayer? If you can't, we just did. So if we did something wrong, Lord, forgive us. All right, y'all. Merry Christmas Eve. Merry day before Christmas. Whatever you want to call it. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. I know y'all thought I was going to say Matthew chapter 1 or something like that. But no, let's go with John chapter 3. Y'all were probably already turned to the Christmas story, weren't you? Y'all were already in Luke 1. Y'all were? Seems like I forgot something. I'm getting a hand waving at me. I'm trying to put it together. Oh, Nani's class. Okay, hey, if you're in Nani's class and you want to go to class this morning, I understand totally. So you can go ahead and go now. Ready, break. They already broke, that's why I wasn't going to say it. 3/4 of the congregation is gone now. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. All right, y'all there? Y'all in John 3? Okay, so what's the famous verse from John chapter 3? Oh, John 3:16. One person knows it. That's so good. So what's the famous verse from John chapter 3? Thank you. That's right. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, to whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Okay, so that's the famous verse. Who is Jesus talking to? Who is He talking to? Who? Nicodemus. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Some of y'all think that was a trick question. Like, I thought you meant, who was it for? No, He was literally talking to Nicodemus in this scripture, okay? And y'all know how, like, when you go to work every day and you do the same thing every day, it kind of becomes mundane? Anybody like that? Nobody? I'm the only one that, well, in education, it's never the same thing every day, but nobody else has a job where you pretty well do the same thing every day. One person, thank you. Three people. Okay, a couple of y'all. Okay, so I think it's the same thing with John 3:16. We've heard it so much, and it's been repeated so much that it kind of loses its impact when we read it. And so I think sometimes what we need to do is back up and see what exactly was going on that Jesus said that in the first place. Okay? So Nicodemus is who Jesus was talking to. He comes to him by night because he's scared to come to him in the day. He doesn't want anybody to know he's coming to him. Because what is Nicodemus? I heard it. What'd you say? A what? A Pharisee. Good. Totally not what she said. We'll go with it. He was a Pharisee. Somebody back there did say it. I heard it. There we go. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, okay? But he was also a member of the Sanhedrin. So here's what you need to know about Nicodemus, all right? As a Pharisee, he is seen as an interpreter of the law. So the Jewish people look up to him because, like, he understands what the law means that God wrote down and all that stuff, and he interprets it to them. But he's also a member of the political body. And as a senator and as a member of the political body, he was backed by Rome. So not only did this guy have religious power, but he also had political power. Okay, so I want you to think about it this way. Like, if Billy Graham walked in here right now, how many of y'all would be kind of like, oh? Four of us? Six. Tell another lie. If Billy Graham walked in here right now, and all he has is religious power. We know he doesn't really have that political power part of it. But think about it. Like, I was at a church one time, and the state senator, Greg Harper, was there. Or he was the House. I can't remember. Maybe he's in the House. Y'all know Greg Harper? Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was at the church I was at. They had him a seat right up front. It was election time, by the way. They had him a seat right up front. And there he sat, his front row seat. And the pastor got up to preach and was like, "We're so thankful to have our Congressman Greg Harper with us this morning. Mr. Harper, why don't you come say a few words?" And everybody in the audience was like, "Oh, this is our politician, man." And they were in such awe and all these things because he has power, right? See, well, I'd say the president, but some people might get freaked out if I said he walked in. But if the president walked in right now, for the most part, we'd be like, "Oh my gosh, that's the president of the United States standing right there." Okay? So I think I've told y'all this before, but I went to a Grizzlies game one time, and I always tell this story because it's really cool. And so we were walking down the floor, and as we were walking down the floor, one of the guys missed a shot. They were playing the 76ers, and the ball rolled over to me. So I got to pick the ball up, and NBA ball was in this hand. So I picked it up, and I look up, and I'm passing the ball back to Allen Iverson. Hall of Fame NBA point guard Allen Iverson. That's right, Mr. Jimmy. I met him. We're friends because I threw the ball back to him. And I threw it back to him and I was like, "What's up, man?" Kept walking. But y'all, I was in such awe that I had just met Allen Iverson because it was so cool. And then another time I got to walk by Shaq. And y'all, I know how big he looks on TV. He is a whole lot bigger than that. I'm just telling you. I literally had to go like this and look like this just to see his whole body. Okay, that is a big man. But I was in awe when I saw him too. So I want you to put this all together and go, okay, when Nicodemus walked in a room, people had that same feeling. It was like, "Oh my goodness, there's Nicodemus, y'all." You know, like when your supervisor walks in and you need a load of gravel? You know that feeling? "Hey man, how's everything going? You know, I sure could use a load of gravel." You know what I mean? Right, that's what Nicodemus, when he walked in, people wanted to talk to him. They wanted to ask him questions. They wanted to know him better, but they were also kind of in awe of him. Okay, so that's who comes to Jesus. Now, what I love about this story is that he comes up to Jesus and he's asking him like, "Okay, so how can a man be saved? How can he be born again?" And I don't want to give you any visuals on this because I'm a visual person when I read stuff, but he says, "How can a man enter into the womb for a second time?" And so my mind visualizes. Anyway, I'm going to stop there because it's just not going to work. You can't enter the womb a second time. And so y'all, here's Jesus' response. And the reason I love this is so cool because Jesus, I mean, he is not in awe in any way, shape, form, or fashion when he talks to Nicodemus. He doesn't look at him and go, "Oh, you know, well, I'm just going to agree with you because you're Nicodemus and that's what everybody else does." You know, kind of like the boss at work. Whatever he says, you're like, "Yes, sir, that's exactly right, sir." Whether it's right or wrong. Inside, you're going, "You're an idiot. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard." But outside, you're going, "Oh, yes, sir. Amen. Yes, I'll do whatever you say, sir." Right? Jesus didn't do that. He just laid it out for him. And that is so cool to me. And here's basically what Jesus told him. He said, "Look, Nicodemus, as smart as you are, for all the knowledge that you have, for all the studies that you've done, all the books that you've read, all the people you know, all the conversations you've had, you don't even understand the foundation of grace. You don't even understand the foundation, the basics, the root of grace. You don't understand any of it." So y'all, he puts Nicodemus in his place to start that conversation. And it's really important that we understand that because here it is Christmas time. And so I wonder how many of us understand what the foundation of grace is. Because sometimes we like to add things to grace, and maybe sometimes we like to take things away from grace. But there's really just one foundation of grace, and it's really that simple, and it's the reason for the season that we're in. And what is the foundation of grace? Jesus, that's right. So let's look at John 3, verses 16 through 18 to start off. "For God so loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. So y'all, we read John 3:16 and we're like, that's so awesome. But think about the context that John 3:16 was written in, that it was said in. He's telling this really smart, powerful dude, you don't understand the foundation of grace. And then he tells us what the foundation is. The foundation is so simple, and yet we try to make it harder than it is. The foundation is very simply that Jesus came. Did anybody make Jesus come, by the way? I see Paul has been talking to y'all again, telling you not to answer my questions. So, did anybody make Jesus come? Some of y'all are scared to answer because you're like, I think like God told him to come. God didn't make him come. It was a choice he made. He decided to come. He wanted to come. And why did he want to come?
To save the world.
To save the world. Because why?
Because we need it.
Because we sucked at life. I love it. I'm sorry if that word offends you. I apologize to anybody that may offend. Because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. So y'all, that's extremely important that we understand that because Jesus came, because he came, we can have salvation through him. Now here, I love this verse. We're going to look at verse 17 in the Message version real quick because I love the way it puts it. It says, God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And I love the way it puts it because in the version I was reading, it says he didn't come in the world to condemn the world, right? This is the same thing that it says up there. He didn't go through all the trouble of sending his son so his son could point his finger at you and say, you're going to hell. Okay? And this is really important to understand because God could have done that from heaven. He could have just looked down and been like, you suck, 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 y'all are all going to hell. Right? He could have done that very easily from heaven. But Jesus made a decision. He decided to come to earth, not to point and say, Austin, you're a horrible person and you're going to hell. Because what would have been the point of that? What would have been the point of that? It would have been a colossal waste of time, which is basically what that verse is saying. He didn't come to condemn you guys. And I know a lot of times I hear this. I hear, well, if God is such a loving God, how could he let all this bad stuff happen? If God really loves people, why do all these things happen? And I got real graphic with the youth on Wednesday night when I talked about this with them. And I'm not going to get that graphic with y'all. But the question I get asked all the time is, if God is such a loving God, why do children get kidnapped and raped? And that's a tough question. Because I'm telling you now, if somebody kidnapped my kids and tried to do something to them, but there'd be another serial killer on the loose. Right? Like I'd be dude in Taken, just taking people out, one after the other. Oh, you had a conversation with her? You're gone. Right? Be jumping on boats and breaking my leg, but still managing to get up and kill everybody, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, that's how it works out in my mind. I don't know how it works. It worked out in real life. But in all seriousness, guys, think about that question. If God's such a loving God, then why does that bad stuff happen? Well, did God tell those people to do that? That was a choice they made, right? It was something they decided to do. Okay? So here's the deal, y'all, and this is what we've got to get into in this word today. We're going to spend most of our time in the next few verses. I think we all know that God loves us. I think we all know that he sent his son for us. I think we all at least have heard that before at some point or another. Okay? But at some point, something happens where we end up having this little tug of war with ourselves. Where we're like, yeah, I know he came and I know you say he loves me, but I see all this bad stuff happening and I just don't understand how it works. And so I brought a couple of magnets up here I was playing with in Sunday school this morning. Because the cool thing about a magnet is, like, notice what's not happening. What are they not doing? Yeah, they're not going together. And it's not because I'm not trying by any stretch of the imagination. Why are they not going together? Huh? Yeah, because it's the wrong side, right? So this is what happens with us, y'all. Here we are, and we meet Christ. We hear about Christ, and everything's great and good. And then all of a sudden, something comes up alongside of us, and it starts kind of repelling us. It starts kind of pushing us away. And we end up, like I said, in this little tug of war where we're trying to connect with Christ, but we can't because it's like something's holding us back. And here's what it is, and it's right here in the Scripture. Let's read verse 18. And we'll keep going through 20. Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. So notice the first part of 18 says, basically, that if you trust in Christ, you're acquitted. The trial has already happened. Jesus was your defense attorney. The devil came up and he read everything that you had ever done wrong. And he was like, now, Lord, send him to hell. And Jesus said, not going to happen. He's mine. The gavel was pounded. You're saved. You're going into heaven. It's over with, right? Trial's over. Double jeopardy is illegal. Amen? Now, y'all, I'm trying to hurry up and make this as quick as possible so we can get home because I know it's Christmas Eve, but y'all going to have to answer my questions when I say stuff or respond to a amen prompt.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, young people, for being the example for all the wiser people in the congregation. See, always go with wiser. No, I'm just being serious, but let's move on. Let's read verse 18. As well, some of y'all caught that, some of y'all didn't. Let's read verse 18 in the Message version real quick. Okay? Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust Him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to Him. And y'all, I love the way the Message version puts this. And please understand, the Message is not a translation. It is a paraphrase. Okay? Basically taking what the Bible says, paraphrasing it to make it more understandable. All right? But it's not a reliable translation. Please don't think that it is by any stretch of the imagination. But sometimes it makes stuff make a little more sense to us. And I love this part right here. Because how many of you guys have ever gotten a speeding ticket or should have because you were speeding? Thank you for being honest. Okay, now, here we go, right? You go to court for your speeding ticket. And the judge says you were going 95 and a 35. And you're like, yes, sir. And he says, how do you plead? And you say, guilty. But judge, before you give me the fine, please just give me the death penalty. I just deserve death. Like, I don't even want to appeal. Just go ahead and stick the needle in. You can do it right now. You don't even have to pay $1,000 to sterilize it. You're going to kill me anyway. Just go ahead and put it in my arm. Let's get it over with, okay? How many of y'all would ask the judge for the death penalty for a speeding ticket? Oh, nobody? Paul would. Paul would. There's always one. There's always that one. And stop telling them not to answer my questions, man. So, anyway, y'all, I love Paul. He's great. Every time he works on my car, something else breaks. I don't even know what that's about. I'm just kidding. No, Paul's awesome, man. He's fixed my car like 18 times in the last 3 months. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right, I got to stop. I'm sorry, Paul. No, I love Paul. Do what?
Same thing wrong with it all 18.
Every time. Every time. And then he's like, I'm sorry, the warranty went out yesterday. No. No, I'm just kidding. He's great. If you ever need your car worked on, he's the man for real. So, in all seriousness, none of y'all would go to a court date for a speeding ticket and say, give me the death penalty. I'm guilty. I was speeding. Just put me to death. None of y'all would do that, okay? Okay, but here's the deal, and this is what this verse says. If you don't have faith in Jesus, if you don't believe in Jesus, you have already given yourself the death penalty, and you don't even know it. In other words, you've already went to the judge and said, put me to death, stick the needle in my arm, go ahead and take me out, but not just for today, for all of eternity. Like forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, go ahead and send me to hell with the devil and his angels forever. If you don't trust in Christ, you have already given yourself the death penalty. Because notice what this says, y'all. And self-condemnation is exactly what it is. Jesus doesn't give you the death penalty. Who did? We did. We made a decision to give ourselves the death penalty. And the bad thing is, y'all, we don't even know it. Like we hear about Christ, we hear somebody preach about Him, we hear the gospel, we choose not to trust Him, we choose to trust ourselves instead. And because we choose to trust ourselves instead, we've given ourselves the death penalty. So again, I ask you, how many of you, if you got a speeding ticket, would walk in front of the judge and say, give me the death penalty? Okay, let's take it a step further. How many of you, if you murdered somebody, would ask the judge to give you the death penalty? The answer is, I mean, really, realistically, probably none of us. Maybe one or two of us would if we really felt bad about it. But in reality, we would probably fight it. Be like, oh, give me life in prison or whatever. Because none of us want to be put to death. That's a scary thought. But if you don't trust in Christ, you've already put yourself to death. And you don't even know it. And y'all, this is what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. He's saying, look, man, if you don't trust in me, it's over with for you. And remember, he's giving him the foundation now. He's given him the basics. So because God loved me, he came. And he came to get me out of the death penalty that I put myself in. Okay? In verses 19 and 20, this is real interesting to me. Because it says this is a judgment. The light's come into the world and people love darkness rather than the light. How many of y'all love dark rather than light? Some people do, like for real. It's cool. Like this is not, I'm not saying you're a bad person. Okay. So, if you just raise your hand, you're a horrible person. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all are the only ones paying attention, so I'm just going to talk to y'all, okay? Like seriously, 16 people have left already. I've been counting. I think it's a yellow shirt. I almost didn't wear it. So I guess really going to offend somebody. It does match the walls. Okay, so. No. So here's the deal, y'all. This is what these verses are actually talking about in 19 and 20. It's not saying that once you come to have a relationship in Christ that you're still choosing evil all the time. Because that's the way some people read it. Like, oh, whether I'm saved or not, I'm still going to do bad things. So I might as well just not be saved because I'll be just like you if you are saved. I hear that a lot too. But that's not what it's saying. Here's what it's saying, y'all. It's saying that through our life, a lot of the choices that we make are not really very good choices. In other words, like it's a business decision that comes up and I need to either do this or that. And the conversation I have with myself is, well, I know if I do this, it's going to help me out. And I know if I do this, it's not really going to help me. And so we choose this way instead of this way. Okay, every day we make thousands and thousands of choices. Like some choices we don't even realize we're making. But we make thousands of them every single day. How many of you seriously make 100% good choices? Come on now. Nobody, right? We're all going to make bad choices. And this is the point of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, guys, you're going to make choices in your life. But here's the thing. Some of you guys love making the bad choices. You love the darkness rather than the light. I've come into your heart. I have saved you. And yet, you would still rather be in the darkness than in the light. You'd still rather do negative things than do positive things. You see, I know guys that are saved that are still alcoholics. I know guys that are saved that are still addicted to pornography. I know guys that are saved that do all kinds of stuff. But they still profess a relationship with Christ. They pray, they come to church, they read the Bible, they do all that stuff, and yet they've got all these addictions. And guys, it's real simple. It's because we love the darkness rather than the light. We'd rather be in the dark. And it goes on in verse 20 to tell us that not only do we love the dark, but we hide in the dark so that our works don't come to the light. Because we don't want people to know. How many of you guys that are addicted to pornography, don't raise your hand for that part, but how many of you guys that are addicted to pornography wait till your wife and kids are at home, go into the living room, turn all the lights on, and pull the phone out and start watching? Go ahead, you raise your hand for that part if you do that. Okay, that's what I figured. Nobody, right? Everybody's looking at me all crazy like, I can't believe a religious asked that question. Why not? Why not? Okay, it's because we do those things in the darkness. We do those things when nobody's looking. We do them hidden when nobody's around because we don't want anybody to know. And we hide those things because we'd rather be in the dark than in the light. Sometimes it's not the choices we make, but it's the motives behind those choices. It's like we can make a choice to help somebody, or we can make a choice to help somebody and ourselves at the same time. Which one are we going to make?
Helping somebody with yourself.
That's right. That's what we're going to choose 9 times out of 10. It's like, okay, this year for basketball, I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this. Are we still on the computer? Okay. I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to charge ahead. Okay, so this year in basketball, we didn't have a coach that was certified. And so they asked me if I would sit on the bench and be the head coach, but do no coaching. And they would pay me. And they said, we really need your help with this. What do you think I said?
Yeah.
Why? Because I was going to get paid. That's right. I'm sitting on the bench. I do absolutely nothing. I just sit there.
Good job.
All right, good game, y'all. I'm going home. And I get paid. Now, what if they'd have come to me and said, now, we really need you to do this, but we can't pay you? Y'all have so many answers, but you've never been faced with that situation. What would I do? I'm not going to say it because we're on the Facebook thing. And if I say I would do it for free, then next year they'll be like, hey, will you do it for free? So I'm not answering that. So I know I make a comical thing out of it, but guys, think about it now. We make decisions that help us when they help other people, but when somebody calls and says, can you help me move, and we don't get anything out of it, all of a sudden we got something to do. Right? Because it's the choices we make, but it's also the choices we make and the motives behind them. Okay? So, here is the cool part. So we got these magnets, right? And they just won't go together. I love these. I just play with these because they're so fun. But they won't go together, right? Until something happens, and then all of a sudden, like, you can hold them like that, and they'll fall. Hang on. I did it in Sunday school, and it worked. There we go. So see, because they attract each other, right? So all of a sudden, something comes in, and it flips that magnet that was repelling against itself. It flips it around, and all of a sudden, then it goes together. So what comes in? What does that? Let's look at verse 21 because it tells us very clearly. It says, but anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. And y'all, I love this verse. I honestly think this verse should probably be as popular as John 3:16. Because look at what it says. Anyone who lives by the truth. Anyone who lives by the truth. And who is the truth?
God.
Jesus is the truth. That's right. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the truth. So first of all, if we live in the truth, we come to the light. So if we live in the truth, we come to the light. So if we trust in Christ, we move out of the darkness, we move into the light, and what happens with our works? That's right. They're shown to be accomplished by God. Now, here's the thing, guys, and everybody fights this. We all do. It's like At school, you know, when I do something really cool, and then the boss takes credit for it? I'm like, no, man. No, they wrote a whole newspaper article about how the boss did something, and it was all my idea. And I went to him and I was like, that's garbage, man. You need to rewrite that, retract that story, rewrite it, and put my name in it because I did that. No, I really had that conversation with him, like for real. But I was joking. I really didn't want him to retract it or put my name in it for that matter. But y'all, that's how we are as people, right? We want people to know what we did. We want people to know how awesome we are. And that's right. I serve at church. I am the assistant to the assistant to the secretary that is the assistant for the pastor's assistant that is the associate pastor's sisters, brothers, cousins, mothers, uncles, best friends, cousins, baby's daddy. That is who I am. And I do it all for the glory of God. Why do you think Jesus said all this stuff to Nicodemus, who's a Pharisee? What did the Pharisees like to do when they prayed? Yeah, they like to show off, man. Get in front of everybody, get real loud. And Lord, thank you that I'm not like these mere ugly sinners out here. I threw the word ugly in, no reason. Mere ugly sinners out here, horrible people going to hell, God, but I am more like you than anybody. Right? That's how the Pharisees prayed, and that's why Jesus is telling them this. In other words, guys, it ain't about you. Who is it about? It's about Jesus. That's right. It's about Jesus and Jesus alone. So y'all, this is so cool when you think about this in verse 21. Anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that your works can be shown to be accomplished by God. Because when people look at you and they see Christ, what do they want? That's it, man. They want to be just like you. They want what you've got. And so I'm going to make this really simple for you guys. Really simple. You can go through life and hear the gospel because you've all heard it this morning. And you can go ahead and give yourself the needle anyway. Go ahead and put yourself to death. That's a choice that you can make. I don't care about God. I'd rather live in the darkness than the light. That's fine with me. I'm good with my addictions. I would rather continue having my addictions, continue having my freedom, than live in the light and go to heaven. I would rather receive the death penalty. That's a choice you can make. Or you can make a different choice and say, you know what, God, I'm tired of living in the darkness. I'm sick of having to hide all this stuff all the time. I'm sick of living for myself and doing everything for me, myself, and I. And Lord, I'm ready to live for you. I'm ready to trust in you. I'm ready to hang all this stuff up and just put it all on you. Give me the strength, Lord, to trust in you, and you can believe in the truth, and you can come to the light. And when you do that, then not only will you be saved, but through your life, other people will be saved as well. And that is so awesome, guys. And that's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. That's what he's telling this Pharisee. Y'all, the foundation of grace is so simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It is so simple. Don't make it harder than it is. And so, y'all, as we go into Christmas, I really challenge you, keep number one, number one. And His name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. That is so cool. So cool. Y'all bow your heads, and we're going to pray, and I think they're going to come sing a song or something. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you that you give us the opportunity to make a choice and say, you know what, Lord, instead of fighting you, instead of having this tug of war with you, man, I'm ready to just give it all up to you. I'm ready to let go of the darkness and come to the light. And Father, I pray if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you, that doesn't have a relationship with you, God, that they would have seen your word today and go, you know what, I'm ready to live in the light. I'm ready to live for Christ. And I pray that they would give their lives over to you right now. Father, I pray for those of us who are saved and we're still having that battle, that tug of wars, making decisions with the right motives, God, that we would begin to make the right choices for the right reasons so that people would come to know you through our life, through our works, through our actions and our attitude. God, I thank you so much for your grace and your love. I thank you for your Son. I thank you that you sent Him to earth. to live, to die, and to be resurrected again for us. Lord, I thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, as they sing, if you want, you can come up and pray. You can pray where you are or sing along with them.
Tell me I am only true.
Hello? So, to close it out, y'all, let me just tell you this. Cool thing about Nicodemus is this. We have no idea whether he actually got saved or not, because the Bible doesn't say. But here's what we do know. We know that later on in John, he defends Jesus in front of the other Pharisees and catches a lot of flack for it. Okay? And then we know later on, after that, that he also buys some of the spices and helps prepare Jesus' body for burial. So remember what that verse said. It said, through your works, God will be glorified. So leave no doubt, leave no question. Guys, don't leave this place with any question in your mind as to your relationship with Christ. Because there is nothing more important in life than that relationship. Nothing. That being said, the ushers are going to come to their spots very reluctantly. No confusion. Everybody knew where to go. Almost. Good job, guys. Y'all bow your heads and we'll pray. Lord, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for your love and your son. I pray that you would bless this offering and use it for the needs of the church, Father. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Alright, everyone bow your heads and let me pray us out. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all these wonderful people coming out, learning through the word. Thank you for everything that you provided us with. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
I love you. Oh, okay. I love you, and thank you for letting Pastor John be your pastor. And ready, break.